Okay, because the time is short, I'm going to give you like 15 or 20 minutes on a important topic, stop being reactive. You know, the attitude of most of the people is just reactive. But Christ was always proactive. And the good Christian should never stay as reactive personality, but proactive one. What is the reactive? Reactive personality means that he responds with the action as usual reaction. So when it comes to insult, you are getting upset, you may get a violent response, a feeling of hatredness or low self-esteem. This is, you know, kind of reaction. That's the usual thing happened when you feel insulted or hurt. Again, the reactive, like when it comes to failures or whatever losses, you feel upset, so you may go into deeper feeling of jealousy or nagging or giving up or whatever. Again, if it is a problem, the reaction is just some kind of upset, puzzled, desperate, escaping. All these negative attitudes being just a reaction to the acts happening around will end up having an anxiety, anger, tension, and many problems in your character. But being proactive means that if it is insult or loss or a problem or kind of failure, now you will think differently. And your attitude is not the usual reactive one. But you will accept whatever happening from the hand of God. And so you will react differently. And this is what we mean by being proactive. You may think in a re-evaluation or just trying again, you may think or react as creative or thinking of a new solution. You may develop a quiet dialogue to discuss problems or failures or losses. So all these actions are not kind of reaction, it's a proaction. Proaction, that it does not mean that you just react and others react. I'll give you an example from the New Testament so you can follow me better. Remember the Good Samaritan? The story of the Good Samaritan started by this guy who was dying in the way. And the priest came and he saw him, but he just passed by him. And the Levite came after him and he just ignored him. So the third one usually would have just following the steps of the priest or the Levite. But actually this Samaritan man was not a reactive, was not a follower. He was a proactive. He thought differently and he reacted differently. He thought that this man is dying and I might one day be in his position. It's better to save him. And he forgot whatever the duties or whatever the problems he had, and he just focused on him. So he was proactive. He acted differently. Being a reactive personality, it's just like when you see a kid crying over his broken toy. This kind of crying is just a reaction. And the negative thoughts may have different ways, like guilt feeling anger or low self-esteem, or you feel like no way out, or other negative feelings. The negative feelings are all reactive feelings. Also, you may negatively react in your behavior, like criticizing everyone around, criticizing God Himself, criticizing your parents. You may just being sarcastic or isolated or develop the enmity attitude or justify your whatever actions. All these are negative, are just reactions. So we need to be a proactive. Christ was always different. He acted differently from whoever living around Him. In order to be a proactive, better to think in this way. Actually, we need this 3R. Revise, resist, replace. Revise, I mean just think of your attitude. Look carefully, how do you react to things? Do you just negatively react to whatever problem you have? Or you think in a positive way and you act positively? So revise your way of thinking, your emotional feelings and your behavior. Then you should resist this habit. It's kind of habit that you react negatively. It needs some resistance. You focus and start to resist this habit to develop a positive attitude and being proactive. And this replace means that you will behave in a different way. You will act differently than before. When this happened before, usually I reacted this way. From now on, if it happens again, I will act this way. So now you are developing a good character and a good habit. You may think, if Christ was in my place, what would I do? What does the Bible say? So this way of thinking is proactive way of thinking. You are not following that what people do usually. Actually, you can say, why would I be annoyed or hate or insult or isolate? I may deal in a better way. I may find out a better way. Another proactive attitude is just to pray. When you pray in any problem, this is a kind of proactive behavior. And when you love people, even if they hate you, this is a proactive attitude. Try always to switch from being reactive to proactive. Like what was said in the Bible, if your enemy is hungry, the reaction, just leave him away. Just ignore him. But being proactive, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Again, the encouragement is kind of proactivity. Because when you see something wrong, usually most of the people criticizing this wrong or just looking down to this, but the encouragement is one of the proactive behaviors. Also, when you focus on the target and you have a clear vision, think of the moment, think of your life, and consider how to be positive always. Again, being flexible, you need sometimes to go out of your way, and this is the best way. As the Good Samaritan did, he did not continue his way, but he made it differently. Again, remind yourself with the truth that the meaning of success is just how to get God's will done. The meaning of success is not just being rich or famous or achieving some targets, but the real success in life is just to stick to God's will. Glory to God. Amen. I'm waiting for your comments and questions. هتقولوا حاجة ولا هتناموا؟ You know, in order to develop a habit, you need to exercise. You need to train yourself on the new habit. So, we all tend to be reactive. So, when it comes to somebody offending me in any way, I react negatively. But because the commandment of God, I have to think properly. What would Jesus do? Or what was the commandment in this situation? So, if you just exercise praying few seconds, you will develop different attitude. You will think in a different way. Because I will not respond as usual. I need to respond in a Christian way. I'll remind myself that I'm not just that like anyone. I'm Christian. So I should respond in this way. So it needs few seconds of praying, of revising yourself, of your mission. So if you train yourself on this, actually you will develop the habit. How can one evangelize the name of God if he is not famous or rich or successful? Successful may be needed, but not necessarily famous or rich. You know, evangelism starts usually with the word love. When you love people, you start to evangelize God because God is love, simply. So when you love people around the Christian love and you show this love in a pure, nice way, people will come asking you why you show this honest love, although people do not love them on the same way. So actually when you live the Christian life, you love people around, this is usually the start of preaching the word of God. Also, we need to reason our faith. We need to know how to answer questions of atheists, of Muslims, of whoever living around. Because this is also something needed from all of us. You will face many common questions from those who do not believe in God. So are you ready with the answers? Then, if you grow up spiritually, you will feel this passion of saving others. And when you are very passionate to save others, you will develop the evangelistic lifestyle. Those who live their life just for the salvation of others, they have different lifestyle. They focus always on prayer, on Bible study, on how to preach the word of God, how to deliver the message, how to open the door for evangelistic dialogues. So this will come with training and with the spiritual growth. How can I search the level of constant, how can I reach the level of constant prayer when I have other responsibilities to attend to? Constant prayer, or prayer without ceasing, as given by the Lord Himself, actually we cannot do unless we focus on our Lord Himself and how He was spending His day. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ was not just raising His hands and praying all the day, but He was always in a state of communicating with His Father. So the prayer is not just to stand up and raise your hand and speak some words. No, actually, to pray without ceasing means that you always think of God and you feel the presence of God. You may talk to people, you may do your work, you may drive your car, you may even eat or drink or whatever, but all through the day you feel His presence. you feel he is around and you can easily speak to him in any time. So this is kind of unceasing prayer. How can one know the will of God in his life? Simply, if you go to the epistle of Saint Thessalonians, the first epistle and the fourth chapter, you will find this statement, this theme given by Saint Paul. The will of God is your sanctification. So simply, God needs you a saint. He is always thinking of you as his likeness. So this is the will of God, is to grow up having Christ-like image. So in order to reach this level, you need to focus on his commandments, on his likeness all the time. So this is the will of God. When it comes to some decisions, where to go and what to do, do you marry or not to marry, or travel or stay, or so you need to pray simply, and you need to ask yourself whether this decision you are going to make goes with the will of God or against the will of God. And with prayer you need to study the Bible and to spend some time, because you know it's better not to rush taking decisions without enough time of prayer and Bible reading. And if you still cannot see clearly what to do after prayer and Bible study, then it's time for the Father of Confession to help you. So putting all these items together, prayer, Bible, Father of Confession and time, you can know exactly the will of God in decisions. I love a person who is far from God, but this person promised to change. Do you think it's possible? No, I don't think so. It's not good for anyone just to come nearer to God for the sake of somebody. Actually, one should choose God, for himself, not for others. I had seen many such relationships, emotional relationships, and they thought that he can bring the guy nearer to God because he loves him, but usually it fails. So better in marriage not to choose anyone away from God, because you are focusing on the kingdom of heaven. You are living on earth few years and then you are going to the eternal life. If you choose wrongly the wrong one in your marital relationship, you may lose the eternal life. So this is serious. This decision is very serious, and before making this decision you have to make sure that the partner will help you in your way to God. And also I need to tell you that not all love is real love. Sometimes this love is just kind of emotional elation or excitement, but it's not real love. Love as given by the Word of God is patient, is giving, is pure, is always in the light. Love endure everything, love believe in everything. So love is not just kind of emotions. As given by the Bible, love is always kind of attitude and actions. So what you call love, not necessarily real love. Is it my responsibility to introduce my friends to God? Yes. It is your responsibility, but not necessarily in a direct way. If you love God, you are happy showing His love to your friends. But you may pray for them, you may help them to attend some masses or youth meeting, you may give them some CDs or books. I don't think anyone can take just the preaching or sermons directly to his friends. But just care for this. When we go on mission trips, we forget about all the earthly things and our busy life and focus on God and our spiritual life. Yes. How can we maintain our focus on God and the fire spirit in our busy life? It's a good question, because yes, in any missionary trip, usually the members feel this feeling that they forget everything and just focus on the salvation of the people they serve, and they feel so happy and they feel the hand of God. They can see clearly how God is working with them. But in order to continue on this, to maintain this feeling, you need to have this lifestyle here in Canada. If you are studying or working, you're still an evangelist. So always you think that I need these people to know God. What to do to show them God's mercy or God's love? So when you think this way, you will enjoy your work, you will enjoy your friends, and everything in your life will be just inside your mission. How can one know that the voice inside him from God, not from the devil? I think it's easy, because God will tell you love others, and the devil will tell you the reverse. Usually if you read the Bible, you know exactly what's right and what's wrong and what is God's will. So you can discern, or you differentiate between God's voice and devil's voice. And if you need some help, you just go to your father of confession. Sometimes I feel that I'm such a bad person, that I'm going to hell anyway. What should I do? No, Habib. Just remind yourself that God loves you. Whatever you are, whatever you had done before, but God loves you because He sees you as His son. So it's not related to how bad you are. It's related to His attitude. God loves you. God loves you, whatever you are. And remind yourself with the prodigal son, or any other parable in the Bible. Look how much happy was the father receiving the son and accepting him as he was, although he had done terrible things. So don't focus on yourself and how much bad you are. Just focus on God and how much merciful He is. When you focus on God and His love, you will enjoy the relationship. Focusing on oneself will end up into one of two extremes: either feeling proud of yourself or feeling very down and low self-esteem. But when you focus on God, you will not feel the pride or the low self-esteem. You will feel happy because you are such a beloved one. The last question, thank God. If the Holy Spirit is fixed in man with the baptism, why do we do sin after this? You know, having the sacraments of whatever baptism and the holy niron or the communion does not mean that you do not have any will to choose the right or wrong. You still have your free will to choose the way. So even if after confession or communion you do wrong, still you can come back and repent and do the right way, the right thing. So having the sacraments is kind of having the grace of God, the power of God, the help of God, but it does not mean this will prevent you from doing any bad. No, you're still a human being and have your free will to do whatever you like. So the sacraments are the sources of God's grace, the power of God. You can make use of this, but this does not mean that you lose your free will to live the way you like. Thank you, dear Lord, for all the blessings you are giving us. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for your church and your words. Please bless all whatever we do. Help us to be proactive like you. Help us to love people whatever they do. Help us to focus on our mission and to see clearly your will in our life. Help us to stick to your commandments and do always what pleases you. Please, God, help us to overcome our sins, our doubts, our negative feelings, our laziness. Help us to love with your heart and to see things with your eyes and to believe always in your promises. With the intercession of Saint Mary and all the saints, accept our prayer when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.